The Bible reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading from the New International Version. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we have also had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they had was of no value to them, because those who had it did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again said, a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through them, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest, so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Thank you. I'm going to now invite our preacher for today. Yup. He knows Kenya maybe better than I do, but he's going to tell us who he is and he's going to speak to us about perfect peace. You're welcome.
This morning, they were a little bit scared. That's why I drink some. That I wouldn't have any voice this morning to preach. And you discover now, up to now at least, that I have some voice to speak. I'm Joop, not soap, but Joop. Some have difficulty with it. I preach sometimes with the South Sudanese in Houghton, and they don't call me Job, they call me Job, the suffering Job from the Old Testament. And that's easy for them, and it's okay with me. So, I've done my teacher's training in Holland, gone to Institut Biblique Européen in France, a Bible school in France, gone to Congo, then we had quite some problems over there. We prayed, fortunately, this morning for Congo, and they need prayers. We worked there for some years in the teaching, and from there we had to leave Congo and went to Kenya, and I was their principal of a secondary school in Chibara, north of Eldoret. So, we have links with Congo. We have links with Uganda, where two of our children were born. And we have links with Kenya. Even there, we have a link because Our baby who died at birth is buried at Eldoret. So, since we came back to Holland, I was teacher of French, and now I'm speaking this morning to you in English. I'm a grandfather of 19 children, so you allow me to put on my glasses. And I want to preach on a subject, perfect peace. I don't know what kind of week you have had, or what kind of weeks you have had, but the verse, the scripture starts off with, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. The content of the promise is entering rest. Many of our songs we have sung this morning talked about rest and peace. Perfect peace. What kind of week have you had? Irritations? Frustrations? I see some not. Disappointments? Heartbreaks, maybe. Misunderstandings. That's one thing too. Misunderstanding in your relationship with others. Maybe you were depressed, upset. And what happened? You lost your peace. Now, in this part of scripture it says that you can enter peace from all those situations you have in life, in your circumstances, you can have peace, wonderful peace. Let us therefore be careful that none of you should be found to have fallen short of it. Don't miss out on peace. People around you, circumstances around you, they might disturb your peace. Your thoughts may disturb your peace. And what does the word say? The word says, enter into my peace. Many examples in the Bible show us that we should enter the peace. There are two possibilities. You can enter and you can miss it. And many times I miss it. Many times when things happen, I blame myself afterwards. Why didn't I listen to the Lord who says that you can have peace? Perfect peace. We can miss it. Two possibilities. What does it say? We can hear the message and have peace, or we can hear the message and fall short of it. Miss it. Miss out on it. But the Lord doesn't want us to miss it. The Lord wants us to have that wonderful peace. It's very available for us. Peace is available. But it's very easy to lose your rest, to lose your peace. And we have illustrations in the Old Testament who can show us that it is so easy, and even in this part of Scripture we see it in Hebrews 4, where the Lord refers to the people who doubted his promise. The people who did not enter the promised land because they did not trust the Lord. And so there are many words in the Bible, many promises in the Bible who can tell us that we should have, could have, can have the peace of the Lord. And those promises we find in the Bible, I'll read a few to you because it says, hear, listen. Oh, the blame was they did not hear. They did not listen to the Lord. And they missed out on the promises. The Lord encourages us to hear. And I'll read a few promises which are in the Bible. Just a few from all those hundreds. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Oh, you sing it sometimes. I'll not be moved. I'll not be shaken. No, because I have the peace of the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And then in Psalm 37 we find, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you what you need. 6 years ago I was in hospital and they had to do something to my heart. They operated, and there I was laying, and after a few days my temperature went up. I would say it differently. First it was high and then it went down. First it went up, then it went down. And then a sister came to my bed and she told me, your temperature is 37.4. Oh, I said, that's wonderful. 37.4, that's my spiritual temperature too. So, and then I quoted in Dutch the verse of 37, and then I quoted, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then going on, that was maybe the next day, 37.5. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust him, and he will do it. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. And then go on, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. My eyes are not getting better. So, isn't it wonderful to have this temperature, this spiritual temperature? Be still before the Lord. Stand still. And now we come to the comparison we made in Hebrews 4 where it says, and they did not enter the rest. Who were they? They were the people of Exodus 17. And so we go from the Hebrews 4 to Exodus 17, and there we see how the Lord works when people, with his people Israel. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of sin. Traveling from place to place as the Lord has commanded. Isn't it wonderful to see that those people in the desert. They traveled from place to place as the Lord commanded. They were in the will of the Lord. Wonderful to be in the center of the will of the Lord. And then they... they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water. How is it possible? To be in the will of the Lord, to be in the center of the will of the Lord, and then you say, oh, if I'm in the center of the will of the Lord, or if I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, all my problems are solved. But the illustrations in the Bible are a little bit different from that. It's not that all the problems are solved, but that you have sometimes more problems than what you had before accepting Jesus. And the Lord is testing the people, and there we see they quarrel. Oh, what did you expect? They had had already so many good experiences. They had so many wonderful experiences with the Lord. When the Lord guided them from Egypt, over the Red Sea, through the Red Sea. When they needed food, they got food. When they needed water, they got water. And now they are again in a situation where things don't go the way they expected to go. And what would you expect? What would you expect if you had had so many wonderful experiences with the Lord? You would expect that they would kneel down and say, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful occasion to trust you. To trust you. Wonderful. We've had so many deliverances, and now we stand before you and we kneel down and thank you for this new experience we can have, because you guide us. You helped us in the past and you will do it now. But they did not kneel down. That's not in my Bible. It's not in your Bible. It doesn't say that they knelt down and thanked the Lord for this wonderful occasion to trust Him. But there they were, quarreling, blaming Moses. What did he say to Moses? Why did you lead us out of Egypt? What does Exodus 20 say? That the Lord God led them out of Egypt. What does the people say? What do the people say? Oh, you, Moses, you did it. You brought us in this miserable situation. How often? I hope not, but how often doesn't it happen that you blame others? Like they blame Moses, others for things who go wrong in your life. Many things can happen. We talked about irritation, frustrations. Oh, some people are a thorn in the flesh. What does Paul say about people, or the thorn in the flesh? Pray that you get rid of them, and if you don't get rid of them, receive the grace of the Lord to overcome. Okay, the people from Amsterdam, they know it, that you have airplanes, and sometimes an airplane goes so fast that they crack the speed barrier. So fast. And what does the Bible say about us? Is to stand still and watch. Watch the deliverance of the Lord. Stand still and watch. Watch the deliverance of the Lord. When you stand still, you can crack the faith barrier. into the rest of faith. The faith rest. Oh Lord, I want to enter the faith rest. And then it said, Lord, watch, stand still, and watch how I will do it for you. Oh Lord, no, I want to do it myself. If I get in conflict with other people, I will do everything to prove that I am right. Lord said, be still. Be still. I'll prove that you are right. And if I want to prove that you are wrong, I'll prove through the Holy Spirit in your conscience that you are wrong. And that they are right, maybe. It's sometimes hard to accept it. But the Lord wants us to enter peace, to have peace. Oh, it's a wonderful place positionally to be in Christ. To be in Christ, then you belong to a royal family, a royal priesthood. To be in Christ means that you have everything Christ has. Peace, victory. You can have everything Christ has. Christ has given us so many things. Deliverance, salvation. The best thing you can get is what we have read in John 1:12, what we've read with us this morning, that when we accept Jesus Christ, we become a child of God. It's wonderful to have. But if He has given us this wonderful gift, then Romans 8 says, oh, you will have all the blessings you need. Will He not, with Him, give you all things? He will give all things. If He has given the greatest gift to you, salvation, when you were still an enemy, Romans 5:10, when He has given that greatest gift to you, now He will give you all things after having become His child. It's a place of stability. It's a place of joy. A place of inner happiness. It's a place of strength. It's no matter what happens, God will give you the peace you need. And that's the peace that surpasses all understanding. And the peace that passes all misunderstanding. You can have misunderstandings, and God gives you the peace that passes all understanding and misunderstanding. That is entering, what is it called in Hebrews 4? Entering a Sabbath. Oh, we can have a high, great discussions in Holland on what you should do on the Sabbath, on the Sunday, what you should not do. In the past, it was always some kind of discussion. You don't skate on Sundays. You don't ride your bicycle on Sundays. No, you can have big discussions on many things, what you don't do. But what the Lord thinks is very important, that you enter a Sabbath who lasts from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on and so on. A moment by moment rest. Enter that rest. Enter the rest of faith. And then we see in the chapter 17 that they blamed Moses, they blamed Aaron. Later on in Numeri, we get that same kind of discussion on no water, and again they quarreled and they blamed, and they did not enter the rest. So we have many illustrations in the Old Testament to tell us that there is no rest for them who do not trust the Lord. So we can have that perfect peace only through trusting. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is
stay
believing. Can sing it. I don't know if you know it, but when I was in Bible school, we sang it. I will keep you in perfect peace. I will keep you in perfect peace. I will keep you in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on me. So when we are concentrated on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will keep us in that perfect peace. And then there is no human solutions to our problems, but then we wait for the divine solutions for our problems. And those children of Israel, they did not kneel down to thank the Lord. And it would have been wonderful if they would have, but instead they quarreled. The people did chide, does it say in the King James translation, chide. They, Meribah. When they left that place, they called that place Meribah. Oh, that's expression for disappointment, for disgusting. Meribah. So, they Meribah. They quarreled, they Meribah, they were not happy. They just did not do what the Lord wanted them to do, and that is just trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Just trust and obey. And the people Meribah with Moses, and they criticized and complained, and they hit the panic button, and everything went wrong. And Moses said, Lord, what do I do with those people? Have you been in that kind of situation? What shall I do? Everything goes wrong. And the people around me don't understand me. And they blame me for things I haven't done. And Lord, help me. And so, that was the problem over there. And that is many times the problem over here in our lives. And God said to Moses, stand before them. Oh, what had Moses said to the Lord? Moses called to the Lord and said, oh Lord, they are going to stone me. And what did the Lord say? Stand before them. Yeah. Isn't that something? Stand before them. Yes, says the Lord. And so Moses did what the Lord told him to do, and then what happened? God answered prayer, and there came water. Another example of how the Lord can deliver from those difficult situations. So the Lord can deliver us from our difficult situation. And Moses stood before them and did what the Lord wanted him to do. And while their hands were filled with stones, the Lord added, take with thee some elders. Take with thee some elders. The leaders should see what God's solution is. So when God does something, He always wants to have people around who can testify that He is the answer to our problems. So take people around you and testify what the Lord can do. And so God fulfilled His promise. Behold, I tell you, Moses, there are other people. There are you. You stand before them. And what does the Lord say? I will stand before you. Well, where does the Lord stand now? There are the people, and here is Moses, and the Lord says, I'm standing before you. Oh, the Lord stands in between me and my problem, not you. I mean, you are not my brownie. I'm just telling you that you can have be in situations where things go wrong, and that the Lord says, you stand before them, stand still, wait, watch. I'll give you your deliverance. I'll stand before you. I'm standing before you and your problem. It's wonderful. Moses, take the rod with you. Oh, why does he have to take the rod with him? You remember? The rod. They. Oh, the rod. You remember the Red Sea? You remember even in Egypt with the plagues? The rod. Oh, if you see that rod, you see how the Lord can deliver. You can see it because you see the rod. The rod was the symbol of deliverance. The Lord gives sometimes those practical examples of deliverance. Even the Lord's Supper is some practical example of a complete deliverance. Bread and wine, deliverance. Just those material things. Take the rod with you. And what should have happened? Oh, if you see the rod, they should have thought, oh, wonderful. God is going to do something when you see the rod. Behold, I will stand before thee, and there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water. And Moses did exactly as the Lord instructed him. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. Will you please remember the Meribah? If you should say to you, if I should say to you, remember the some place here in Wageningen, I will use that illustration, some places, then you know here in Wageningen something happened in May 1945 when there was deliverance. The deliverance of the war. And so you can see Meribah as a sign of deliverance. A sign of deliverance. Meribah. Remember the Meribah. Remember the Bevrijdingskerk. Remember everything here in Wageningen which reminds you of deliverance. And crack the faith barrier. So, whatever happens to you, remember this sermon this morning. Crack the faith barrier. And the Lord will be with you in faith. Trust Him. He that gives a perfect peace, ask Him all understanding. Amen. Next time I'll have new glasses.